It's over.
Game over.
Game over, man.
It's over.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show.
Do the postgame.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Charlie Remeliotis.
Welcome in to the Blackhawks postgame show. Charlie Remeliotis here to help break down a 4-1 loss to the Vancouver Canucks at Rogers Arena in Connor Bedard's homecoming game. Unfortunately, didn't go the way he had probably hoped. You can call or text 312-981-7200. We're going up to 12:30 tonight, this morning. I'm not sure, depending on where you are. Let's bring in Troy Murray now as we go back to Vancouver for a quick recap. Troy, the first period was probably one of the better first periods that the Blackhawks have turned in this season, but it was the final 40 where Vancouver tilted the ice back in their favor.
We talked about during the first intermission that Vancouver is going to come out with a much better determination in their game in the second period, and they certainly did. And the Blackhawks didn't respond. They kind of got a little bit caught in their own end of the ice and took a couple penalties, and all of a sudden Vancouver gets the lucky goal. And, you know, for a team that's been struggling at home, didn't play a first good period, you wanted to keep on them. You wanted to keep that pressure on them. But that power play goal really gave them an opportunity to kind of take a deep breath and go, oh, okay, we're back in this game. We don't have to push it as hard. And I think that the Vancouver Canucks in there felt very comfortable the way that they played in this game. And for Rick Tocchet, who was talking about his team was playing too light in this game, they had 33 hits, the Blackhawks only 14, and that was really because they were initiating the contact. They were coming after the Blackhawks. They weren't passing up opportunities to finish the man, and I thought the Blackhawks, you know, didn't do that the way that they needed to. Only 14 hits in a game. They want to have some emotion, and this is not a big team, the Vancouver Canucks. And you look at some of the guys that were running around for Vancouver, Kiefer Sherwood. He's, you know, 6 feet, 190 pounds. He's not a super big guy. Attu Ratu was out there, and I thought that he was running around too much. And you'd like to see a response from some of the guys from the Blackhawks here when that happens, running around and kind of getting away with a lot of stuff. This is not an overly tough team, the Vancouver Canucks, but they were the more physical team in this game, and that's what their head coach wanted to. And they were initiating the play in the second and third period. I don't think that they were a physical team in the first period, and that's probably something that the coaching staff addressed in that first period.
I thought the Blackhawks were the better team, probably slightly, in the first period. The shot attempts in the second period, though, were 34-11. I mean, they were fortunate to get out of that period tied 1-1. And I thought the Hawks have done a good job of pushing in the third period. We've seen it in both of the Dallas games. We saw it against San Jose. I thought we were going to get that by the Blackhawks, but it just didn't feel like they could get anything going in the third.
No, you know, and that's where you would hope that the team who, you know, they added the veteran presence. You know, when you miss a guy like Seth Jones, but every team goes through some problems. And, you know, Vancouver's lost their top goaltender, their top goal scorer, Brock Besser. So, you know, everybody's going to deal with elite players. So that that's no way an excuse. But when you have an opportunity and, okay, you didn't play well in the second period, Vancouver dominated, they scored the lone goal. You dominated in the first period, you scored the lone goal. You should be able to reset and just focus on what you needed to do in the third period. And Vancouver never let up, and the Blackhawks, they had a couple opportunities. They had a couple shifts that created some chances. But overall, I mean, Vancouver was in control of this game in the third period.
Arvid Soderblom was excellent once again. Unfortunately for him, just doesn't get the run support. He has only one win in his five starts this season. Man, it feels like he deserves better.
Well, his goal, they scored two empty net goals, right? So it's a 4-1 game.
Sure.
His goals against average was just a little bit over 2.3. That's going to drop because of the way he played in this game. He only let in two goals. He was excellent. Gave his team an opportunity to hang around, just like we saw the other night in Seattle where Mrazek was that good to give his team that opportunity. So they have to find a way, and it's not easy. And, you know, you kind of have to look at it and say, realistically, where are we in this rebuild process? You would hope that they'd have some more results this year with the players that they brought in, but there's some players that are really struggling right now to create offense. Connor Bedard had we might as well go there right now. He had a tough game.
Yep.
He really did have a tough game. He was -2. He lost all 8 of his faceoffs in this game, and only one shot on goal, and one shot was blocked. So two attempts in this game. For a guy like Connor Bedard, he's at his best when he's shooting. And I saw a little article or something that says, like, if you're the opposition goaltender and Connor Bedard's not getting shots, that's much better for you. He's got to find a way to play in the middle of the ice. Too much on the outside, and he's not a big player, and they come out there and they force him and they push him and they out-battle him physically. He's got to find a way to get to the middle of the ice so that shot becomes much more dangerous than it is from the outside. But he's not getting a lot of opportunities as of late. He only had one shot in that game against Seattle as well. You know, and now in the two games against the Vancouver Canucks, the one team that he probably wants to play extremely well against, he's minus five in the first two games of the three-game set this year.
Yeah, and he looked fairly noticeable in the first period. He had some chances. I know he fumbled the puck that right off the stick, that it was a scoring chance. I think towards the end of the period, he turned the puck over. So there were a little bit of ups and downs. But the final 40 minutes, so he had one shot on goal, two shot attempts total. Both of those shot attempts came in the first period. So he was held entirely off the shot attempt score sheet for the final 40.
Yeah, I feel for him because everybody in the building was looking at Connor Bedard tonight, and he didn't have it. And I feel bad for him because this game, whether he shows it or not, the way he was talking about in the press conference that he had this morning with the local media and everything, he downplayed it, just another game, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, deep down, he really wanted to come in here and play a good game. And I think maybe the way that things have gone here as of late, it just kind of carried over in this game. He had the one in close opportunity, and that was his one shot that he had in this game. But other than that, just he was really quiet. And for him to come in here, and he made some mistakes, you're still within a goal, and all of a sudden he turns a puck over at center ice, and it's in the back of the net, and the game is over for all intents and purposes. So, you know, those are things that he's going to have in his mind. He's got to go talk to his family. The team is staying over tonight, so I'm sure he's going to get together with his family as well. And it's just not going to be a happy, joyous occasion the way that maybe he would hoped it would end up.
You brought up that empty netter by JT Miller. I mean, it's just so unfortunate. Connor's going for the dump in. The puck just hops off his stick. It almost feels like when it rains, it pours for him. Like, you know, even just getting a goal off a shin pad or whatever, I feel like would do something for his confidence. But then something like that happens, and it feels like the mounting negativity or the intrusive thoughts probably start to pile up.
100%. You know, just the way that he skated off the ice after, you know, I don't know what you're supposed to do when an empty net goal is scored like that. You know, basically know that everybody in the building saw that you fanned on a puck that 99 out of 100 attempts that he's never going to do that again. But it happened in front of his hometown crowd. It was, the backbreaker, so to speak, in the game, because you still have that opportunity to find a way to score. And it just it didn't happen for him here tonight. And I feel bad for the kid because this is a game where he really wanted to produce.
This is the fourth time in the last five games the Blackhawks have scored just one goal offensively. Taylor Hall was a healthy scratch tonight, Luke Richardson has been trying to toy around with all sorts of line combinations. I mean, what do you do to try to get the Blackhawks out of this offensive rut? Is there anything that Luke Richardson hasn't pressed, any button that he should press and hasn't yet?
It's a good question, and we talked about it last game. You know, you make line adjustments, and you're trying to find combinations that work. And you know, to me, I look at some of the guys that should be helping Connor Bedard be successful. And Teravainen was one of those guys that was brought in, thinks the game the same way. He's got a lot of skill, and he's a good 200-foot player. But that combination just didn't seem like it was working the way it needed to work. Taylor Hall was a guy that they brought in. Former MVP last year, 10 games. Okay, so now he comes into this year. Is there a fit there with Connor Bedard? It hasn't worked. You know, they can try and do things systematically to change things up a little bit. But it's hard to try and figure out. If you look at the lineup that they have, it's not a firepower, high-octane offense type of lineup that they have. And they have to figure out which way they can be successful. And if Connor Bedard wants to play the game one way, then they cannot take away his creativity. That's one thing they can't do. you can live with some mistakes from Connor. And I think right now that those thoughts in his mind are just starting to build up, and he has no confidence with the puck right now. And you can just see he's in his mind, it's going 1,000 miles an hour. And for a guy like Bedard, you know, normally it's going 10 miles an hour because he slows the game down in his mind. And right now he's struggling. There's pressure coming all over for him. He's not, you know, if you're the Vancouver Canucks, the one thing you didn't want to happen in this game is Connor Bedard run the show. So right. There was a lot of focus on him, and they were physical on him all the time. And the, you know, Hoaglander was out there, and he's 5'9", 185 pounds, but he's a quicker skater, and he got there, and he was putting a lot of pressure on Bedard. You know, I don't know how they create opportunities more. I think that when you look at it, you've got to, and they, you know, you got to take the puck to the net. You have to have that willingness. And we talked about it earlier. There's a reason why guys like Nick Foligno and Donato and Smith are having successful seasons as far as their offense, because those guys are, they have the willingness to go to the front of the net. Teravainen's got 4 goals. 3 of those are on the power play. He's only got, I think, a couple points this year, 5-on-5. You know, you needed more from him. And there's no system that's going to help Teravainen. That's got to come within him individually, how he can be creative and create those opportunities and help out the guys that he's playing right there. And they're just not having the consistency that they're looking for throughout the lineup. You can change the lines, you can do all that, but you need more individually from these players.
All right, good stuff, Troy. Tough road trip for the Blackhawks, but looking forward to seeing you back home in Chicago on Tuesday night.
We will see you then.
All right. Good stuff, Troy. Have a good night.
Thanks, Charlie. Thanks, you too.
All right. That was Troy Murray to help recap the Blackhawks' 4-1 loss to the Vancouver Canucks. I want to stay on the topic of Connor Bedard, because it's unfortunate, because I thought this might have been a game where he has a little bit of jump in his step. He's in front of his hometown crowd, his family, his friends. There were moments in the first period where he did look a little bit nervy. The puck hopping off his stick, you know, that he had one grade A chance in front. Can't remember, was it Maroon shot the puck and he rebounded it, and it was a nice save by Vancouver. So just a tough night for him. And I think for me, I know the Blackhawks, it felt like they experimented with this on Wednesday, and maybe I just saw it wrong in practice, but I would experiment with Connor Bedard on the wing. I think just temporarily, just to free him up offensively with the defensive responsibilities. Troy mentioned he went 0-for-8 in the faceoff circle. It's been a real area this season where he's had a tough time, and I'm just wondering if putting him on the wing would help just free him up where he doesn't have to think as much. Not that he is overthinking. The games prior to, you know, looking at his last 4 games, he had 1 shot against Dallas, 2 shots against Minnesota, 1 shot against Seattle, and 1 shot tonight against Vancouver. That's 5 shots on goal combined in the last 4 games. You look at the shots on goal in the previous games, 4 against Detroit, 5 against Anaheim, 3 against LA, 3 against San Jose, 2 against Colorado, 3, 4, 6. So the chances were there prior to the Dallas game, but now it just feels like he's having a hard time getting his shot attempts to the net. And so I wonder if part of the solution could be just moving him on the wing. I'm not saying this permanently at all. I just think temporarily, just to kind of free him up. We got a texter from a 630 number, Connor Bedard and let him take a look from up top. It doesn't help. He doesn't have much help around him. Don't want to break his confidence, but maybe taking a game off could reset him. You know, I don't think a healthy scratch would be, I understand the sentiment, but I don't think a scratch would, it would create more of a story if Bedard was sitting in the press box. I think he's one of those elite players that will eventually break out of this slump by working his way through it. And man, I know I've said this for a while now, and it hasn't come. Now the goal drought is at 9 games, but it feels like when he does get the monkey off his back, the floodgates are going to start to open a little bit. Maybe not to the degree of what we've seen, you know, maybe like a Patrick Kane, where when he was here, it was like, oh, Kane has 7 goals in 4 games after, you know, a 7-game goal drought. You know, it might not be to that level, but maybe it'll be 4 goals in 3 games, or, you know, 5 goals in 3 games, whatever it is. I feel like Connor is going to bust out of this fairly soon, but I think the frustrating part for him is probably leaving these games and looking at the shots on goal and saying 2 shot attempts, 1 shot on goal. You know, tough night for him. I was also kind of tracking this while Troy was talking to see how many line mates Connor Bedard has played with, and I was checking off all the forwards. He's played with Lucas Reichel, Ryan Donato, Craig Smith, Philip Kurashev, Taylor Hall, Teuvo Teravainen, Nick Foligno. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different players. Has he played with Mikheyev? I want to say he might have played with Mikheyev too. So I think he's played with Mikheyev. So add another one in there. So he's played with pretty much everyone. The only guys he hasn't played with, and it's still a little bit surprising to me that Luke Richardson hasn't tried it yet, is Tyler Bertuzzi on the first line with Connor Bedard, given the fact they spent most of training camp on a line together. And for whatever reason, maybe Luke saw something, or the coaching staff saw something, that they just didn't feel like they would work well together. But man, I don't know what the Blackhawks would have to lose by putting Bedard on a line with Tyler Bertuzzi, because it doesn't feel like anything else is working. I also want to say this, that part of the where Connor Bedard gets his offensive confidence is on the power play. And it's unfortunate, because the Blackhawks had 26 seconds of power play time against Seattle on Thursday. It was the Seth Jones interference call got negated, which was a really soft call, by the way. And then today, the Hawks only had 1 power play. So over the last 2 games, the Hawks have had 2 minutes and 26 seconds of power play time. I have no idea how the Wyatt Kaiser penalty didn't get called. Wyatt Kaiser got tripped in the third period. The officials didn't call it. It's a 2-1 game at that point. You know, a power play for the Blackhawks, and if they score, they tie it up at 2-2, and the feeling is different. But Vancouver ended up scoring the 2 empty netters to pull away, and so it's just unfortunate that the Hawks haven't gotten any power play time over the last 2 games, because that's an area where they could use it, because they have only 4 even-strength goals in the last 5 games. And, you know, like I was mentioning to Troy, they've had 1 goal in 4 of the last 5. So it's just tough to score offensively right now for this Blackhawks team, after they had power play success earlier in the year. They had some even strength success offensively earlier in the year. Now it just feels like it's drying up at a tough time. And it kind of feels like it's an insurmountable task for the Blackhawks to score more than 2 goals in a game right now, because Connor's fighting it. Maybe confidence wise, he's starting to get inside his own head. Teravainen has not produced lately. I think it's 1 point in the last, is it 12 games, after having 7 points in his first 5 games. You know, Ryan Donato scored a goal against Seattle, but, you know, with Ryan Donato as the leading goal scorer for the Blackhawks, I think something is going wrong for this team. And so you want to see other guys step up, you know, the Kurashevs, the Reichels, Teravainen and Bedard, kind of lift this team offensively, because they're having a tough time breaking through, not just on the power play, because they're not getting any time, but at even strength. So really tough time for the Blackhawks right now to score offensively. And once they break out of that offensive slump, you feel like it would free up the entire team. But until they get some of the big guys going, you know, I'm not sure if the Blackhawks have the depth to be able to go toe-to-toe with some of these other teams that are coming up in the standings, that are more in the upper echelon, that the Blackhawks are really going to need those offensive the offensive output. So we'll see what happens. We have some Blackhawks post-game sound rolling in from Vancouver. Alex Vlasic spoke to the media, and Ilya Mikheyev also spoke to the media, and Luke Richardson looks like he's talking right now. So we'll hear what they have to say on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Blackhawks post-game show on 720 WGN.
Alex Vlasic at center ice drops it back to Connor Bedard, Hawk line. Oh, he fans on a dump end. He runs into Miller. Tyler Bertuzzi comes along. Knocked Miller off the puck for a moment. Miller took it back and fires. He scores. It's an empty net goal for JT Miller. And it makes the score 3-1 Vancouver with 1:56 left in period number three.
Back here on the Blackhawks post-game show, Charlie Romeliotis here. Hawks fell to the Vancouver Canucks 4-1 at Rogers Arena in Vancouver to wrap up a mini two-game West Coast trip, their third of the season. Man, I'm sure they are very much looking forward to coming home and being done with the West Coast trips for a while, because I think the next time they go over there is like end of February or March, so they'll have a nice stretch of home games coming up, and got some afternoon games, some early 6 o'clock starts coming on the road. So been a tough schedule for the Blackhawks travel wise over the first month and a week or two of the season. So another tough one against Vancouver tonight. Alex Vlasic, he was one of the guys that was likely going to be stepping up and eating some more ice time minutes with the absence of Seth Jones, who, if you missed it, didn't play in this game because he was placed on injured reserve after blocking a shot on Thursday. I think it was in the third period against Dallas. Probably didn't realize the severity of it in real time because you're just running on adrenaline, but he's going to miss at least the next 7 days with a right foot injury. And that's a tough loss for the Blackhawks because he eats so many minutes. And Alex Vlasic was one of those among the leaders for the Blackhawks in ice time tonight. He spoke to the media in Vancouver. Let's hear what he had to say.
It's the frustration level with the offense right now. This is five straight games with one regulation goal.
Yeah, it's tough. It's, like you said, it's getting frustrating. It's pretty tiring to just kind of rely on one goal to win against a good team. So, yeah, we got to figure out a way to turn around.
Without Seth, did you feel more pressure, I guess, or a bigger role on you tonight?
Yeah, I mean, definitely miss him out there. He's a great player, one of our best, and trying to do my best to step in and fill his shoes.
That's a lot of minutes to fill. He was leading the league in ice time. How do you as a group do that?
I mean, I think everybody's got to step up, not just myself. I think the D Corps has got to step up and play extra minutes as a whole. So for me, I think I just try to go in the same way that I've been going in all year.
Did it feel like the opportunities were there tonight?
Yeah, I mean, couple good looks, Fliggy on that breakaway. I think we just sometimes we're not able to capitalize on the chances that we get. So, it's tough.
That was Blackhawks defenseman Alex Vlasic. He finished with 23-33 of ice time. I thought it'd be maybe a little bit higher than that. Figured he would lean more heavily on the Vlasic and Murphy pairing. Connor Murphy had 25-04 of ice time, which led the Blackhawks. Vlasic, I think he had a tough night, and he would probably be one of the first to tell you that. I was looking back at the first Vancouver goal on the power play. They scored 22 seconds in. It was a Elias Pettersson was looking for Connor Garland, and the puck went off of, unfortunately, went off of Connor Murphy's skate and in. But Vlasic had two opportunities to get the puck out of the zone, and it was two failed exits, and unfortunately it ends up in the back of the net. And then on Vancouver's second goal, the Erik Brännström goal, it was a failed exit by Connor Murphy and Alex Vlasic, and Vlasic kind of got put in a tough situation to fling it out. But the puck went right to, I think it was Brännström, and he walks it in and scores the goal. So tough night for Vlasic, but man, it's going to be a tough go for the Blackhawks. He was credited, I was looking at, Vlasic was given three giveaways, and I think all three of those were on the things I just mentioned, the two failed zone exits on the first goal, and then the failed zone exit on the third one. So that's a guy I'm not worried about. He can easily log half the game and be a guy that's pretty dependable. Vlasic was the guy that slid into the top power play quarterback because Seth Jones is no longer there. Vlasic has played that role before, so it's not foreign to him. But that's another area where he's getting now more ice time. He's still on the penalty kill. He had 2:17 of PK time, which ranked first among Blackhawks defensemen tonight. So he's going to be one of the guys that's logging a lot of Seth Jones's minutes at you know, in all situations, power play, even strength, and at the penalty kill. So we'll see how the Blackhawks kind of divvy up the ice time as well moving forward, and they can better prepare for how they're going to handle Seth Jones's lost minutes. But I imagine they're going to lean heavily on Vlasic and Murphy moving forward. Ilya Mikheyev, he made his return to the lineup after being a healthy scratch for two consecutive games. He's back in his old stomping grounds. Of course, he was traded from Vancouver to Chicago over the summer. Ended up waiving his no-move clause to come here. This was his first game back since the healthy scratch, and he scored the first goal of the game. Nice to see him score. He also finished with two shots on goal and two hits. He spoke to the media after this one. Let's hear what he had to say.
I started off strong and then just kind of faded.
Yeah, just we need to play more consistency, like all game, all 60 minutes, like, because sometimes we just play like we feel we're in a wave, you know, like we play good and just started to play some create, but we need to play more simple sometimes.
Where are the goals going to come from? This is five straight games now. Hard to come by.
Where
are the goals? Like, how do you get some offense on this team?
Against this team?
As a team, just like, how do you guys start scoring again?
Yeah, like, again, sometimes when you start play simple, because when you start to play simple, it's you have more chances, more shots, you feel confidence, and when you're not playing, you lose everything in the one moment.
Can you just talk about your goal and the move Foligno made to start?
Yeah, like, it's a great play from Foligno, and just it's simple, I think. So, like, not simple, it's hard to do, but I think we need more. This player like Fligge.
Was it satisfying at least to get a goal against your old team?
Yeah, it's good, but it's not enough, you know. Like, yeah.
What does this goal do for your confidence? How does this goal create your confidence?
Yeah, of course, like each goal feels confidence, but we need to play more like a team, you know.
Did they change something up in the second period, the way they were defending you guys?
What do you mean?
The Canucks, did they change?
They not change, it's just like they lose in the first period and just like take a break and started to like play more harder, of course, because it's a good team, good structure, good speed, but we need to be better.
That was Blackhawks forward Ilya Mikheyev, who scored the lone goal for Chicago tonight after being a healthy scratch for two consecutive games. By the way, the Blackhawks, it was the eighth time they scored the first goal this season. It was just their second regulation loss when doing so. They were 5-1-1 going into the game when scoring first. They're now 5-2-1. Unfortunately, Vancouver with the comeback victory. And the Hawks were on track to potentially beat Vancouver for the first time in a while. They've now lost 9 straight against the Canucks. They're 0-9-0. Over that span. They came into tonight with 13 goals for, 31 against over the previous 8. So that's now 14 goals for, 34 goals against for a goal differential of minus 20. Terrible doing math in real time. Minus 20. So I'm sorry, 30. 14 goals for, 35 goals against, so that's minus 21 goal differential over that span. The last Blackhawks win against Vancouver was November 21st, 2021. It was in Vancouver, a 1-0 win. Marc-Andre Fleury made 40 saves in the shutout. Brandon Hagel also scored the lone goal in that game. The Hawks were outshot 40-24, but found a way to win. So Hawks losing streak against the Canucks unfortunately continues. Let's go to I'm getting a lot of tweets, so let me just address this. A lot of people are talking about Luke Richardson. Is his seat getting hot? What's the deal with the coaching staff? Man, I think Luke Richardson, I'm not saying he's invincible. Every player is being evaluated this season, whether who's going to be here beyond this year, which young guys are taking the next step. So Luke Richardson and his coaching staff are definitely being evaluated as well. I would just be really surprised if his seat is getting warm. I do think, and the reason I say that is because if you watch the Every Shift episode that the Blackhawks put out there, the first episode of the season, season three, at the very end of the episode, you can see Luke Richardson, the coaching staff, Kyle Davidson, associate GM Norm McIver, they're all sitting in the coach's room and they're staring at a whiteboard with the lineup, projecting the opening night roster, trying to tinker with some different combinations. And Norm McIver is looking at the board and he's saying, you know, we scored 188 or whatever it was goals last season. Where are the goals going to come from this year? Because if we want to take that next step, we have to be significantly better in the goal scoring department. So before the Hawks roster even hit the ice, Norm McIver and the Blackhawks, I'm sure everyone in that Blackhawks room was wondering where the goals were going to come from. I think I would feel a little bit differently about the coach and Luke Richardson's seat if the Blackhawks had a playoff type roster, or at least a roster that should be knocking on the door of a playoffs, and they were severely underperforming. But I'm not seeing the Blackhawks just not responding to Luke, or me being really surprised at the production of this Blackhawks team. Like, Connor Bedard has had a 9-game goal drought. Tara Vinen has one goal, or has 1 point in his last 12 games, or whatever it was, last 12 or 13 games, whatever it is. There are guys that are usually producing that are not producing, and they're getting quality goaltending. So for me, I think it's a conversation down the road. If you feel once the Blackhawks are loading up the roster, where Artem Lefshinov is here, Kevin Korchinski is here, Frank Nazar is a full-time NHL player, guys that are in juniors or college start to make the jump to North America. But right now, it feels like a lot of temporary players in the short term. And if you drop most of the Blackhawks roster on other good teams right now, a lot of them are either barely cracking the lineup or they're probably bottom six players. Like, even think about Nick Foligno, a guy a couple years ago was playing on Toronto and Boston, and he was a bottom six guy on those teams. Or a player like Taylor Hall, even. I know he was a healthy scratch tonight, but Taylor Hall was a third line guy in Boston. So Tara Vinen was a second line player in Carolina, but he was like the complementary piece. He wasn't the driving force. He was the guy that was like the third winger on that team that kind of elevated the line. He wasn't the guy driving play. Pat Maroon, Craig Smith, all of those guys are fourth line players. So in some ways, I'm still looking at this roster and I'm like, Luke Richardson is set up to not have a super competitive team. Like, he has to really pull some offense out of this team, and it's not happening right now, but I do not think that's a reflection of Luke Richardson. I just think the Blackhawks are still not at a point yet where they are, where the roster is competitive enough to feel like the coaching staff is underperforming. You know, does that make sense? I know it's an easy solution to be like, just change the coach. It feels like I've been reading on social media lately everywhere. Pittsburgh Penguins fans are saying, fire Mike Sullivan. Detroit, fire Derek Lalonde. Even Boston fans are now, fire Jim Montgomery. It's the quick, easy solution, but it's not always the right one if you don't think it through. And so, man, I just don't think... I would be shocked if Luke Richardson wasn't the head coach by the end of the season. I just do not think his seat is warm. I think moving forward, like starting next year and beyond, I think you have to start to see some more progress. And as the Blackhawks strengthen the rosters and as the junior players come over, as the guys playing in Rockford start to become more full-time players, full-time NHL players, that's when we can start to have a conversation about, is this team progressing in the right direction? But right now, I think the Hawks have been in pretty much every single hockey game. They're just in a stretch right now where they're struggling to score goals. And so I think once they break out of it a little bit, where they start to score 2-3, some of the bigger guys start to produce, then I feel like they'll start to be a little bit more, they'll pick up some points. But right now, they just have to break out of this offensive slump. But I hope that answers all the questions. I know it's probably not going to prevent the questions from filing in here about Luke Richardson's job security. But man, I just think, roster top to bottom, like, you look at the roster, I think, and I'll finish with this, I think we were so you look at last year's roster, and it was so bare, especially given the injuries, that it feels like this year's Blackhawks roster is so much better than last year's. Having said that, it's the roster this year for the Blackhawks is still a ways away from being a really competitive hockey team relative to the other NHL teams that you are watching, especially in the Blackhawks range. Like, I think of guys like Taylor Radish signed a minimum league deal in Washington. Tyler Johnson signed a PTO with the Bruins, and it took him a few weeks to turn that into an NHL contract. Jared Tenorti is in the minors right now for Calgary. Reese Johnson is in the minors. Mackenzie Entwistle is in the minors. These players that played fairly big minutes for the Black or regular minutes for the Blackhawks last season are most of them are not even in the NHL. And so I think last year you look at the roster and like, man, that was a tough roster for the Blackhawks. And you see the moves they made over the summer, bringing in Tara Vinen, bringing in Bertuzzi, bringing in Craig Smith, Pat Maroon, trading for Mikheyev. But it's still not the roster where it needs to be for the Blackhawks to be playoff type contenders. So anyway, long-winded answer, but I feel like I wanted to address it and not ignore it because I know the questions are starting to file in, and I kind of just want to debunk it because I'm not sure the Blackhawks are at a point yet where the roster is just underperforming. I still feel like Luke Richardson is trying to get the most out of this roster, and it's just tough because a lot of the guys are, you know, kind of have tapped out or like tapped out of their potential. Like, guys are currently slotted in their current roles, but the guys that are in their roles aren't producing. So I feel like once they bust out of that, then, you know, the Blackhawks will the Blackhawks will be better served for it in the long term. All right, we got more to get to on the Blackhawks postgame show, including our save of the game and Luke Richardson's postgame comments coming up right here on 720 WGN.
To DeBrusco, the Hawk line down the left wing to Sherwood to the net. He shoots and Sonnerboom down with a butterfly save. Will stop the puck and hold it with the glove. And a whistle will stop play.
That was tonight's save of the game, which is sponsored by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at ComEd.com/poweringbiz. One of 30 saves by Arvid Soderblom on the night. He stopped all 9 in the first period, faced 17 shots in the second, stopping 16 of them, and then 6 shots in the third, gave up 1 goal. Man, poor Arvid. He has been sensational this season. He has 5 starts for the Blackhawks this year, only 1 win to show for it. Came 64 seconds away from a shutout win in Winnipeg earlier in the season. Tonight, the Hawks only score 1 goal for him. I was a little surprised that Arvid got the start tonight because Anaheim is next on the schedule, and Arvid Soderblom stopped 3.95 goals above expected in the last performance against Anaheim. So it looks like Peter Mrazek is probably going to get that start at the United Center. But man, Arvid was terrific tonight, and feels like, I mean, Artur Shelov was terrific for Vancouver as well, but you wish the Blackhawks would have gotten Soderblom some offensive support because, man, he feels like he deserves way more than just one win in his 5 starts this season. Blackhawks head coach Luke Richardson spoke to the media shortly, a little while ago. Let's hear what he had to say on this loss.
Where's the offense going to come from? This is 5 straight now.
Yeah, I think, you know, that was probably our best first period in a long time, and I think our quality scoring chances were up tonight. Unfortunately, we just can't find the back of the net enough. Lack of drawn penalties too. I think, you know, we can't seem to get enough chances there, which would probably help a little bit in production. I think at times our power play has helped us out this year, but we just can't seem to muster enough chances out on it. The answers are, I think, playing more like we did tonight because we had more sustained ozone time and more chances probably than we've had in the last few games. So even including our win against Minnesota. So I think that's somewhere where we just have to continue and be patient and just bear down on our chances. Like, we've had some good ones.
Connor seems like he's hesitant. He's deferring a little bit. Is his confidence a little shot right now? Maybe for the first time?
You know, I'm sure that was probably a blow. You know, he just missed the puck in the empty net. That just like a little bit of salt in the wound, I think, for him coming home for his first game here. But you know, I saw the guys patting him on the back. It happens, and you know, he's trying to do the right thing and get it in deep, and he just missed the puck. So, you know, that just kind of compounds everything. But you know, we'll talk to him and support him, and just, you know, I think for him, the same as everybody. I think when we have a chance, I think there's we shouldn't be looking for another pass. We should be looking for a shot, kind of like the first goal. We shot the puck and we got a rebound on the back door, and I think we have to do that as a whole, not just our more skilled goal scorers. It's got to be our whole team model right now until we start finding the back of the net.
Well, you alluded to it, but you know, he's a guy who's used to doing so much and everything. Does he press sometimes?
I don't think he was pressing too much tonight, but I think, you know, I mean, I think he's maybe holding on to that puck a little too long and looking for something better. And I think, you know, I mean, we try and encourage him to shoot the puck. Even, you know, he's an elusive shooter and dangerous. So if we can get him, you know, skating and shooting that puck on the fly, I think that's when he's at most danger. But sometimes, you know, it's the way the game goes. You have to have a little patience and put it in and forecheck and hopefully turn pucks over. Like, I think it was a good, you know, night for Mikheyev after his first shift. Was a little rocky after that. He scored, and I thought he skated so well out there and just simple up and down, and he tracked, turned pucks over for mixed chances in the second period. And I think that's where all of our lines can kind of do that, and that'll help everybody, and even Connor, like turning pucks over, it might get him a chance, or it might get Donato a chance, or someone else on the line. I think we got to just start looking at the simple part of our games that can add to more offense, because if we open it up, I don't think we're a team built yet to open it up and go back and forth like an Edmonton can or a Colorado can to catch up or get something going. I think we have to do it as a team and as a unity and with structure. And you know, tonight I thought we played like that for the most part. We just didn't get any luck around the net. So I think we just have to get more determined. And I like the spirit in the dressing room. They don't like we played better. They don't want to hear we played better and we still lose. So I'm confident that they'll push that agenda.
It sounds like you wouldn't want to make any system adjustments or anything.
There's not really much we can do. Like, you know, we can't start seeming passes. I don't think we have the guys that are the strong JT Millers that are the of the world that we saw tonight that can really do that and get away. They're powerful and they're strong and they're fast, and you know, with our group makeup right now, we have to play straight north and slash and support, and I think everybody can do that. And I think once we get in the ozone, I thought we showed we had a little bit more sustained ozone time tonight, and if we can continue to do that, I think we'll get better at maybe burying those chances.
Was that just a tough roughing call on Kaiser that preceded the...
Yeah, I thought he was just protecting our crease area, and I thought there was two guys wrestling, and you know, unfortunately that was a you know, a bit of a game changer, that goal. And you know, I think we were, you know, on our heels a little bit around that time, or just after that in the second period. And but we got to, you know, we got to find a way to kill that penalty, and we'll take him protecting our crease and our goaltender any day.
That was Blackhawks head coach Luke Richardson weighing in on the 4-1 loss to the Vancouver Canucks. We got one more break to get to, then we'll wrap up the Blackhawks post-game show after this on 720 WGN.
Here comes Svenberg from Sweden. 30 years old, picks the puck up at center ice. Nedeljkovic can stop it and win it for the Pens. Svenberg shoots, he's denied! Alex Nedeljkovic finishes it off. Zivoli and the Penguins win in the shootout.
That was our guy, Joe Brand, in Pittsburgh. Anytime we get a chance to play Joe this season, we are going to take that opportunity. Calling a 4-3 shootout win over the Penguins tonight. Penguins were up 3-0, and they squandered the 3-0 lead. Sharks forced overtime, and the Penguins ended up holding off to beat the Sharks. Sidney Crosby scored his 599th career NHL goal. Evgeny Malkin scored his 500th, I think, earlier in the season, and Joe had an amazing call on that. I can only imagine what his call is going to be on his 600th goal for Sidney Crosby. So we miss you, Joe. All right, let's get to tonight's next game preview, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Hawks next game is against the Anaheim Ducks on Tuesday at the United Center. The last meeting for Chicago and Anaheim, it was November 3rd, a couple weeks ago. The Hawks won 4-2. They allowed 93 shot attempts in that game, but Arvid Soderblom was absolutely terrific, Like I was mentioning earlier, he saved 3.95 goals above expected, but I imagine Peter Mrazek is going to get that start after Arvid got the one tonight. Detroit was down 3-1 going into the third period versus Detroit on Friday. They ended up scoring 4 third period goals and won 6-4. John Gibson is back. He had an emergency appendectomy in September, and he's 2-0 in his two starts with a 908 save percentage. So he might get the nod for Anaheim on Tuesday. But here's the most noteworthy thing. Connor Bedard had 3 assists the last time Chicago and Anaheim met. So hopefully Connor can break out of his slump with Anaheim coming up on Tuesday, because that's a team he usually plays well against. Blackhawks hockey is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circa Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. Big thanks to all the help we had on the broadcast tonight, our production crew of Jack Heinrich and Patrick Hennessy. They were led by our engineer, the Colonel Brett Jackson. For John Weideman and Troy Murray, who brought you the call from Vancouver, I'm Charlie Romeliotis, signing off after a 4-1 Blackhawks loss to the Canucks. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Tuesday night.